141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Neil Lennon is upbeat about Odson Edouard's chances of making Sunday's League Cup final. Rangers are waiting on a couple of players proving their fitness, including Borna Barisic, and Motherwell are hit with a sickness bug ahead of the visit of Hearts. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight, two men fighting fit, Jim Duffy and Hugh Keevans.
Only two sleeps to go until you know what. Solid foods will be off the menu by now for the more excitable who support the Cup final teams, but these sides have it in them to create a Hampden epic to be savoured. There are more talented individuals going to be on that park on Sunday than we've had for a decade, and they've both made this season with their exploits at home and abroad. It's a shame then that when you say "may the best team win," it's regarded as a provocative statement. However, may the best team win.
It's a great blend that we've got, I think, Jim Duffy, because he's the excitable one. Yeah. You're going to be the calm head to keep him on the ground between now and 8 o'clock. But it is a big weekend, one of the biggest in the Scottish football calendar, because one of our three major domestic trophies is up for grabs.
Yeah, but I love the enthusiasm that Hugh brings to that there, because it should be. It should be an exciting, enthusiastic, optimistic time for Scottish football. Both clubs, as Hugh just mentioned there, I mean, you know, doing tremendously well. Celtic already qualified with two games to spare. Rangers have got the Young Boys game next week, which is going to be a fantastic occasion. But the Cup final, yeah, I mean, it just brings that excitement, that drama. We just hope that after it, come Monday, we're all talking about football, who is the best team, you know, maybe where the breaks went, all these kind of things, and it's only football. And that's what we keep saying. Rivalry is absolutely wonderful as long as it's only football rivalry and nothing else.
I mean, it's all set up, Hugh. The stories, the subplots, there are so many of them. You've got Celtic and their domestic dominance. Does it continue? You've got Rangers looking for what you've long described as a tangible sign of success.
Yeah.
Mixed in with all these injury doubts and rumours and concerns, it's all going to come to a head on Sunday. It's going to be fantastic.
History is there to be expanded or rewritten. It gets expanded if Celtic go from 9 domestic trophies in a row to 10 domestic trophies in a row. As Neil Lennon said, might never be done again. History can also be rewritten if Steven Gerrard can end 9 barren years for Rangers without a major trophy. It's a fantastic backdrop to what could be a fantastic final. I am deadly serious when I say these two deserve immense credit. They've made the season for all of us, home and abroad, domestic and European football, and now they come together in the most meaningful Cup final that they've had for many a day.
0141 951 1025, that's the number you need to get in touch tonight, so don't hang about. Let's hear from you. We'll take all your pre-match thoughts, all your pre-match predictions, your hopes, your concerns, anything in between. Share them with us on the phone or on Twitter at Clyde SSB. Let's start with a bit of a roll call, shall we? See who's going to be fit and available. Odson Edouard is the biggest talking point, I would say, from an injury perspective this week. I think most would agree with that, given his importance to Celtic. He looks to have won his battle to be fit for Sunday's final. He has missed the last 3 games with what was described as a niggle, but Neil Lennon is feeling confident.
With Odson in particular, it's a day-by-day thing, so we'll see how he's reacted to training tomorrow, from today. And the rest of the guys are, you know, more or less got a full complement. Some of them have been out a bit longer than others, you know, the likes of Odson's been just under 2 weeks, and Johnny Hayes as well. Bolly's been a bit longer, Moy's been a bit longer, but they're all in good condition. So we'll see what the reaction's been from training today, tomorrow.
If he declares himself fit tomorrow, is it fair to say it's his call whether or not he plays?
Of course it is, yeah. That's the same every player when coming back from an injury. So, and I think there's a very good chance he will start.
Well, a very good chance he can start. That's the line, the most important one, saved till the end. Hugh Keevans, do you take that at face value? Do you expect Odson Edouard to play on Sunday?
Likely to start is managerial code for dead cert to start. And that has to be good news for Neil Lennon and the Celtic supporters, because it's a very simple equation. Is your team improved by having your £9 million centre-forward play? Or is your team detracted from by not having your £9 million striker able to play? If Edouard plays, it's good news for Celtic.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's the big difference. I think, you know, the teams are very evenly matched in a lot of areas. And, can you know, obviously up front, Rangers have got Morelos, who's just been sensational. But I think that, you know, disrespect, I said I've liked Lewis Morgan in a couple of games I've seen him playing, but he's not Odson Edouard. No. And that's the difference. And I think if you get him on the pitch, maybe Elanusi as well, because Elanusi allows James Forrest to go back to the right, allows Ryan Christie to play off Edouard, and that's Celtic's strongest team. There's no doubt about that. Yeah. McGregor and Brown is a two centre midfield players, Forrest on one side, Elanusi, Christie and Edouard. And if Celtic have that group of players, they get into the match. For me, slight favourites.
I don't expect fullbacks to get the same headlines as strikers. It's always been that way. Jim Duffy, you'll know that. But Johnny Hayes, Mohamed Elyounoussi, Bolingoli. So particularly Hayes and Bolingoli are down as being fit and available, but they have been out for a while. But at least they're there, because if they weren't, then Celtic had a real problem.
Yeah, well, he's got a dilemma with both fullback positions, because does he play Frimpong or does he put Bauer in, who he gave a run out to against Hamilton? Frimpong has been very, very good, but he is very young, and he's, you know, he's going to be asked different questions from Ryan Kent, and also in a cup final. So that's both fullback positions, I think, will be the big decisions that Neil Lennon's got. I think the rest of the team picks itself, centre backs, goalkeeper, but the fullbacks, I think, if with Bolingoli been out a little bit longer, I'd be probably more likely to be going with Johnny Hayes.
Wow. Okay.
But Greg Taylor's come in the last couple of games again and not put a foot wrong. But I don't
tied for this one, isn't he? So that's the problem.
He does like Johnny Hayes, though. So
because
he mentioned there that Mullingall's been out a bit longer, that to me would suggest again that maybe Hayes will get annoyed.
Right, 01419511025. Twitter is at Clyde SSB. We've heard from Neil Lennon. We're going to get an injury update from Steven Gerrard very soon as well, because it's not all plain sailing for Rangers in that department. But let's kick things off on the phones with Jerry from Kilwinning. Hi, Jerry.
Gordon, good evening. How are you doing?
Good, thanks, Jerry. How are you? A couple of days out. Is it confident? Is it nerves? Are you expecting a roller coaster of emotions in the next couple of days?
No, not really. If you'd asked me 10 years ago, then yes, I remember as a young teenager, Aidan McGeady scoring a last-minute penalty in the League Cup final, and that was a nervy game because it was a very even contest. This Sunday is going to be totally different. I think if you're an objective fan looking at it, Celtic players are far superior to the Rangers players. Man for man, Celtic have got a better team. That's just a fact. But my main point is this. I kind of want to take Hugh to task a little bit about something that's been bothering me for a wee bit. So, Hugh, are you ready for a rant?
Yeah, on you go.
Okay, right.
You'll get one back.
Okay, I've got a lot of respect for you. I really do. I've admired you and liked listening to you for years, so that's the good part out of the way.
There's a butt coming.
Yeah. There is. It's all this talk about, you know, for the first time in many years, Celtic have a genuine title challenge. For the first time in years, we now have a contest between two equal teams. Hugh, do you recall what you were saying this time last year? Do you remember when Kilmarnock were top of the league for a couple of weeks? Do you remember when Rangers actually beat Celtic at Ibrox? As I seem to recall, every pundit on his dog on this show and in the media talking about how there's a genuine title challenge now, how there's a genuine contest, and Rangers went out and signed Stephen Davis and Jermaine Defoe, and they were now prepared for a title challenge in the next season ahead, the next year ahead, sorry. But what happened was, when we came back from the winter break, it was Rangers who blew it. But you did say there was a genuine title challenge, so why is it all of a sudden this year? Oh no, this year is now the genuine title challenge, whereas, you know, you were saying this last year as well.
Well, you know, each season is a fresh sheet of paper. At the time, when Rangers blew it at Kilmarnock and never recovered, then of course, the title challenge evaporated over a period of time. You start the new season with better players at Rangers and the manager the better for his first season in management. And we're dealing in fine margins here, because at 2-2 at Pittodrie and 1-1 at Celtic Park, then you cannot get it much tighter than that. Scott Brown then becomes Captain Marvel and everything's okay again, but they are close, and this is a close cup final.
I'm not denying that they're close, but I'm taking task on the fact that you're saying that, you know, Craig Beattie you said a couple of weeks ago, saying, well, can Celtic handle a title challenge? Can they handle the pressure? They proved it last year they can. They proved it when Brendan Rodgers left. You know, there was a lot of games where we didn't play well, Dundee a last-minute winner, Hearts a last-minute winner, even the game at Rangers when Rangers without 10 men, and admittedly, they played better for us for a period of time. But Celtic came through and won the games.
Yep.
So how is that not a title challenge compared to now? We've proved we can handle the pressure. We've proved we've got the bottle for it. Rangers haven't, that's my main point. Rangers need to show up on Sunday, and I don't think they will, not a chance. They have not proved that they're winners.
I am not doubting Celtic's mentality. You must have a fantastic mentality, a terrific attitude to have won 9 domestic trophies in a row and be going for your 10th. All I'm saying is you cannot be utterly dismissive of Rangers on Sunday, and you cannot be utterly dismissive of Rangers when there are over 20 league games left to be played. They may, further down the line, they may lose at Celtic Park on the 29th of December, and they may theoretically be 5 points behind Celtic, and at that point you're wondering if it's going to go the way of last season. But at the moment, Jerry, you have to be fair. You can't be utterly dismissive of Rangers.
You've got to go on what we've seen at the moment, Jim. In your own opinion, just your opinion, yeah, how much better equipped are Rangers to try and take silverware this season than they were last season?
I think they are better equipped because they went through the process last year of bitter disappointment. You know, as Jerry mentioned there, you know, they fell away quite significantly after the winter break. So that experience, they should be better for that mentally. They should be mentally tougher. Obviously, Stephen Gerrard went out and strengthened the team in certain areas, which he felt he needed to do. Again, as I said, all of those players have that you know, experience of going to places like Pittodrie they had to do on Wednesday, like going to Tynecastle. So it's, you know, and Stephen Gerrard as well should be a more knowledgeable manager for that experience of last season. But they still have to cross the finishing line. They still have to pick up silverware. There's no doubt about that. But when you get asked, whether it's you, myself, anybody in this studio, or anybody comes on, you normally get asked at the start of the season, or sometimes halfway through. So you make a call then.
Yeah.
You know, if we all had to make a call when it was done and dusted, it's easy. But we don't. We have to make a call when everybody's fit. Start the season before a ball's been kicked. How are they going to perform in Europe? How's the league going to go, etc. So listen, it's just an opinion at that time that we all give. But you ask us all, who do you think will win the league? Who do you think will be relegated? Who do you think will be in Europe? All these, and therefore we just give an opinion. Last year, or somebody had said to me on the winter break, "How do you think it's going to go?" I said, "I'll go right to the wire."
Yeah.
I'll go right to the wire because Rangers had beaten Celtic comprehensively at Ibrox. So, but it didn't work out that way.
Jerry, I don't mind starting off with a rant at Hugh Keevans. That's what he's here for. 01419511025. Rangers fans, let's hear from you. Stephen Gerrard says all his players will be given until the last minute to prove their fitness for the final. Borna Barisic missed Wednesday's draw at Aberdeen with a foot problem. Gerrard says they can't be carrying any passengers on Sunday.
He's done a light session today. He's done 3/4 of that. We're very hopeful. But, you know, with respect, we've still got to do one more full session tomorrow. So Borna and a few more who were carrying knocks from Wednesday night. We'll give them all as late as possible and give them the best chance to make themselves available. I think that's important that, you know, they say to us, yes, I'm 100% fit and I'm ready, because, you know, it's going to be a tough challenge on Sunday against a good team. I think he needs to be ready to do himself justice and find his best level. And, you know, I think that's, he's got to think about the supporters and the club and the team rather than make a decision on ego and it to be about any individual. It needs to be, yes, I'm ready to deliver for the team and the supporters. That's the key to it.
This is where Wednesday night could play a part, Jim Duffy, because Borna Barisic is different. He didn't feature on Wednesday night, but there are others, unnamed by Stephen Gerrard, who he says got slight knocks on Wednesday, and we're just going to need to wait and see how they are.
Yeah, it was a competitive fixture. I mean, Stephen Gerrard said before the game he was happy that it was going to be that type of game because they knew his players couldn't, you know, afford to kind of be distracted to the cup. And that was absolutely correct, the way the game went. Maybe when 2-0 up, they thought, oh, wait a minute, now we can try and just see this game out. And unfortunately, it didn't work that way. But listen, bumps and bruises are part of football. You know, if you've got a couple of knocks and it's just a little bit painful, you're not going to miss a cup final for it. You know, it's different if you've got a ligament injury or a strain. That's different. But any bumps and bruises, I think I'll be amazed if there's too many of those players. But Barisic, I think, is an important player because he does suit the way Rangers like to play. And you know, again, John Flanagan goes in and does a steady job, but I think Barisic is definitely the number one left back.
Let's speak to Tommy, who's a Rangers fan on the line. How are you feeling, Tommy, with a couple of days to go?
I'm looking forward to it. Good evening, lads, first of all.
Hello,
hi,
Tommy.
I'm looking forward to it. I was just saying to the lad earlier, you know, some Rangers fans ready to throw themselves off bridges after Wednesday night and what have you, but then we need to take a reality check where we were away at the team sitting in third position. We played them off the park for 40 minutes. We've then been denied a Stonewall penalty, of which the referee apologises later for. Celtic, I'm led to believe, commit two fouls for the winning goal in the lead-up to the winning goal. Never seen it. Only going with what's been on Twitter, whether it's true or not. But anyway, if the shoe had been on the other foot, poof, we wouldn't have heard the end of that for the next 10 years. You know, to stop the nine carry-on that they have daily on Twitter. You know, anything that goes against Celtic, it's to stop the nine. Everybody's against them. We've slowly but surely started to catch up. We might not be there 100% yet, but we'll give him a game on Sunday. And the guy that was on just before me is just your typical Celtic fan who've got a far superior team. Rubbish. If they were far superior, they would be their usual, like they were in front of you 3 and 4 years ago, 20 points ahead at Christmas. These have been right up their backside. We played well this season. We played really well in Europe. We put on a performance on Sunday. We've got every chance of winning that cup as much as they have.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. But incidentally, I would not take Twitter's opinion for anything with regard to the legitimacy of Celtic's goal. It looked all right to me.
Well, Brian Rice didn't think so.
But, well, he's a Hamilton manager. Therefore, he's got a vested interest. Have you seen it? I don't think it's a foul. But in any case, Tommy makes a perfectly valid point that Rangers are better, and the Celtic supporters, I think, have spent years of utter domination of Rangers, and they cannot come to accept that the challenge might be legitimate, whether it's on Sunday or whether it's the league. That's where Steven Gerrard comes in. And I think, Tommy, I don't know if you agree with me or not, but I think there's a greater pressure on Steven Gerrard than there is on Neil Lennon, because if Neil Lennon fails to get it to 10 domestic trophies, not the end of the world. But
oh, Hugh, you're kidding yourself on. You listen to the Celtic fans. I'm on another radio station a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, but
he was telling me he would rather win the league and get 10 than win the Champions League.
Yeah, but I'm talking about 10 domestic trophies, not 10 league titles in a row.
Right.
I'm talking about 10 in a row in terms of domestic trophies. If Neil Lennon doesn't win on Sunday, it'll be a massive disappointment to the Celtic fans, but not a crushing blow. But yeah, Rangers have waited this length of time. Steven Gerrard has watched Celtic win 3 trophies on his watch as Rangers manager. He doesn't want them to lose a 4th trophy.
No, I would agree with that, Hugh, but I think Steven Gerrard's felt pressure all his days. 3-0 down to AC Milan in a European Cup final 12 years ago or so. Yeah, proved when he came out in the second half what he was about. The lad, he can handle pressure. He's done a terrific job for Rangers. We've got players at Ibrox there that probably wouldn't be there if Steven Gerrard wasn't the manager.
Sure. Tommy, the only thing is, it's not Steven Gerrard and the pressure that has to deal with it. It's the players. The players have to deal with the expectations of winning a trophy. You know, getting that winning mentality. And I think that they still have to prove that. And I think the only time that you're talking about the kind of, if you want to call it, the overconfidence of Celtic fans can any way be challenged will come round about the end of March, April, if it's still the same or a couple of points in it, because that's when it is a proper challenge. Because last year, as we mentioned, it looked as if it was going to happen and it didn't. And therefore, and that's the reason why Celtic fans become that, if you want to call it, not say complacent, but you know, confident, super confidence, because Rangers still have it to prove. I think Rangers are a better team. I think in Morelos, they've got an outstanding striker. I think Kent still got to get a wee bit more consistent for me. Still got to produce it. I watched the game against Aberdeen during the week there, and too many times he was too deep, no influence in the final third. And I think that when he's up for it and really focused, he can be a real threat, but he's got to do it in these type of games.
Tommy, thank you very much for the call. Stay in touch over the weekend. Let us know how you think it goes on Sunday. Let me tell you about this though, very important.
Clyde One's Cash for Kids Mission Christmas.
In partnership with Wholesale Domestic Bathrooms Hillington. Caring about children in Glasgow and the West.
The road to Wembley. If you've not heard about it, listen up. What a weekend we've got in store for you. And it's the chance for you to make a real difference to children in Glasgow and the West at the same time. There's a VIP experience to the FA Cup final at Wembley in May next year up for grabs. And all you have to do is text the word final to 84901. That's final to 84901. What are you winning? Well, you kickstart your day with a champagne breakfast at 29 in Glasgow. You're then flown to London, you and a friend. You'll have two nights accommodation in a five-star hotel in London's West End, two tickets to the FA Cup final at Wembley on the Saturday, and then two return flights to Glasgow on the Sunday. I can see your eyes lighting up at the thought, Hugh Keevans.
I'm not sure I'd make it from 29 to the air.
Neither do I. But luckily, hopefully, the winner will. Now, for your chance to win, all you have to do, like I said, is text final to 84901 before quarter to six on Saturday. That's when the lines close. The text costs your standard network rate plus a voluntary £5 donation to Cash for Kids. Every single penny of it goes to Cash for Kids to help support disadvantaged children right here on our doorstep. The full T's and C's and are at Clyde1.com. We're going to pick the winner tomorrow, and we'll do our annual sports auction as well, with your chance to bid on some money can't buy prizes. So get involved in the road to Wembley. And as always, a big thank you to James Mortimer for his kindness in putting up that prize. Wish you all the best.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Road Accident Solicitors. The compensation you deserve when you've been sidelined. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Hugh Keevans and Jim Duffy here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, building up to that huge cup final on Sunday at Hampden between Rangers and Celtic. We are on Twitter as well as the phones, remember, at Clyde SSB. If you want to get in touch, Reagan says, regardless of what happens on Sunday, the way Neil Lennon has taken the job from Rodgers can't be underestimated. I feel it will be close, but if both clubs play their strongest possible team, Celtic will win. And Fernando is on, who is a Rangers fan, but he says, if Gerrard says no passengers, then Ojo's definitely not starting. And he's got to be laughing and wink face emoji. But I do like this period, Jim, as you build up to such a big game, because there are so many possibilities. Yes, of course, there are guys who are nailed on to play, but there are a couple of other positions very much up for debate. We don't know the injury situation. And then even with a couple of hours to go, you'll get the rumour mill start, and then eventually the team sheet comes out and you can really narrow in on your prediction.
Yeah, I would probably think, as I said, the Celtic one would be a little bit, as I say, if they're all fit, would be a wee bit easier to call. I think Rangers have always got one or two. There's always that, you know, right side, you know, the forward line. You know, I think it'd be Kent Morelos, and then it's the other side, and then whether Barisic is fit. And the midfield, you would think it'd be Davis, Jack and Kamara, but Aribo could come in there. But it's the centre backs. I mean, the centre backs have been Goldson, Hollander, but Goldson has looked a wee bit fragile at times, and it'd be a massive call if he brought Katic in. But
do you think it would be unlikely, because it's if you're going to make that change at any time, do you do it into a cup final?
It is unlikely, but again, if he's Stephen Gerrard, say one or two players have got knocks, and if he's one of them, then I don't think he would risk it. And a lot of Rangers fans have been thinking, well, we would prefer Katic in, alongside Hollander. So that to me, there's one or two wee questions just in the team. I still think that nine of them are nailed on, and there'll be a couple. And Celtic, for me, is really the two fullback positions, and that depends on fitness. That just depends on fitness. And in the left hand side and the right hand side, it's whether it goes with the youth of Frimpong and the energy, or whether it goes with a little bit more experience in Bauer. I still think you might give Frimpong the nod.
Just out of curiosity, who would you pick in that right hand side for Rangers that you mentioned? Is it Arfield? Is it Ojo? Someone else?
It's a very difficult one. I think I would probably go at this moment in time, even though who was the boy that was writing in there?
Does he like
Ojo? I would probably go Ojo, simply because I think he gives him the balance on the right hand side. I know he's left footed, but that's the way Stephen Gerrard likes to do it, coming in and allowing Tavernier to go. So I would probably go Ojo, but it would be a big call, and I'm, as I couldn't be 100% sure.
Let's hear a bit more from Stephen Gerrard. Jack is on the line, ready to give us his thoughts. 8 years, of course, since Rangers won that major trophy, and the manager believes they're now at a level to have a real chance of ending Celtic's domestic domination.
I'm sure if we manage to do it, it'd be a huge lift for most importantly the supporters and the club. But we'd certainly benefit from that as a group. You know, we've been together for 18, 19 months now, and we've definitely progressed. We've become better. We're now competitive. We've shown on the European stage against high-level opposition that we can compete and win. Domestically, I think there's more respect for Rangers now. And Sunday gives us another chance to go and grab something. That's important, and I'm sure there'll be benefits from doing that.
Jack is a Rangers fan on the line. Jack, how do you see it going?
Good evening, panel. It's a great pleasure to talk to you all.
Thank you.
Well, I was confident until Jim went with Ojo. Jim. Yeah. Arfield, all day long. Because I think Jim always talks a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. I thought, oh my God, he's gone with Ojo. Mm-hmm. So, no, the reason I called in, actually, I listen to the programme every week. I'm in Nottingham. And I listened this week with great interest, and I recorded how many Celtic fans phoned in and actually were saying, you know, I watched the Rangers game the other night. I was like, really? I've never watched a Celtic game. I wouldn't watch Celtic from my back garden, to be fair. But, you know, and I just thought, they really know that it can't continue. It must change. It may change on Sunday. It may change in May or whenever it is. But the first caller just got me to call because I just thought, he's just totally, you know, you have to be objective. Rangers have made a great deal of improvement. You know, we were one goal off last Sunday. We're neck and neck. It's still neck and neck. If you had said to me, give up points on Wednesday to win the cup, I said, yeah, I'll take that, because, you know, you can always catch back in the league. So I think Celtic fans are very, very uncomfortable. They know it's going to happen, whether it happens on Sunday or the Scottish Cup final or the end of the season or next season. It's going to happen. And it's for Steven Gerrard. If Stephen doesn't do it this year, he will be there next year, because, you know, somebody who runs businesses, you don't change that kind of thing give you 1 year to make a change, because if they don't win nine, you know, if we don't stop them doing nine, then we have to stop them doing 10. You've got to keep the same team to do that, certainly in terms of management. So I think it's just a fascinating thing. I recorded 6 people this week, Celtic fans phoning in to talk about Rangers.
I find it fascinating, Jack, that you record people. But
I'm not kidding you. But I'm in my wee gym every night at 6 o'clock. You know, and I don't record. But I just take notes. You know, God, that was 2 guys on tonight.
Well, first
there was
of
one
all,
guy actually watched 2 matches. I'm yeah, like, that's well, amazing.
First of all, Celtic supporters on Wednesday night would have watched Rangers at Pittodrie in the hope that Aberdeen beat Rangers. Point number one, and they didn't bother about Celtic playing Hamilton Accies because they, in their wildest dreams, didn't think it would be 1-1 with 90 minutes played, and they would need hauled out of it by their captain.
Sometimes if games are on the telly, you just watch them. Yeah, sometimes there's a bit of an innocent explanation to
all this. No. You're a well brought up boy from Lanarkshire. Jim's from Maryhill, and I'm from Partick. Celtic supporters watch Aberdeen Rangers in the fervent hope that Aberdeen beat Rangers.
No, I get that, but I'm saying this idea that you're not allowed to watch your rivals is...
I mean, Jack says he would never watch a Celtic game. That's Jack's prerogative. If he doesn't want to watch Celtic, fine.
I find it quite astonishing, actually, because, you know, I've not lived in Glasgow for a while, but when I grew up there, you know, you just wouldn't contemplate that. And it's just, I think it's fascinating that guys are doing that, because I still today couldn't do that. I've got no interest. You know, but I guess it shows it's mellowing and it's working itself out. But I just think on Sunday, you know, whatever happens on Sunday, it's not a season-defining moment. There's a long way to go. There's another cup to play for. We've got a European match on Thursday, which is not critical, but very important. Frankly, I've never been that bothered with Europe since Stephen arrived. I'm quite happy to concentrate in the league. But, you know, I'm just astonished at how many people are phoning in to talk about Rangers.
With regard to our little part of the world here, the Celtic supporters have enjoyed, with regard to Rangers, complete and utter domination for 8 years, and they can't get out the habit now. They can't get out the habit of mocking Rangers. Therefore, they are not giving Rangers their just desserts going into this cup final.
You don't speak for everyone though when you say that. Surely it sounds a bit general.
No.
There will be Celtic fans out there who acknowledge that it's going to be close at the weekend, or think it's going to be close at the weekend.
But the majority, the majority believe that it would be a miracle if Rangers won. Well, it wouldn't be a miracle if Rangers won. It's not going out on a limb to say that Rangers have a chance on Sunday, given the players they have, given that they are better. It's just our way of looking at things in this part of the world.
The thing is, it's a sport, and in any given day, you can have an off day. And people tend to forget, it doesn't matter who you are, you can be the very top team and you have an off day. But if you've got two teams, you're not that much between them, and one has a, even if you drop 20%, that can be enough to lose the match. Even less than that, you can have a controversial decision, you can have a big decision that, you know, someone, you know, a goalkeeper coming out and run over the top and getting a red card. There can be a number of things, a lot of variables. But in terms of Jack saying about Europe, the thing about Europe does, it brings in much needed revenue. If Rangers qualify, beat young boys, it's going to bring in probably a minimum £3-4 million. That's huge amount of money, because Dave King's already stated, you know.
And then the profile for attracting players, there's a big picture, isn't
there? Yeah, of course there is. Again, it helps everybody, you know, the confidence. Get you, you're looking forward to a European challenge after the Christmas, not just the domestic. So for me, that is very important. I think it's a massive week for Steven Gerrard and Rangers, the cup final and then Europe on Thursday. After on the back of dropping 2 points up at Pittodrie, I think it's a huge week ahead.
Jack, Rangers fan in Nottingham, we thank you very much for your call. Hope the workout's going well. If you're in the gym tonight, let's speak to Gary, who's in Blantyre. Hi, Gary.
Hi, lads. How are you?
Not too bad, Gary. How are you? What's on your mind?
I was fun to talk about a couple of callers ago, but the guy that was talking about the pressure that Gerrard, etc., and Istanbul. But can I just kind of react to Jack there that just spoke about the Celtic fans kind of watching Rangers, and he would never watch Celtic, blah blah blah. The reason I watched Rangers the other night, and the reason I watched is because I fancied they would drop points. Now, if Rangers went 4 or 5 nil up in the first half or early in the second half, I would have turned off. But I'm glad I watched it, because I've seen how inept they are when people put pressure on them, when teams put pressure on them. Jack, go back to your kind of "we're obsessed" brigade and kind of grow up. Yeah, we've always watched each other's results or games if they're on the telly. So, and we're not worried about you at all for Sunday. Well, back to my actual point.
Yeah, on you go, Gary.
Can I?
Yep.
So the guy a couple of calls talking about how Steven Gerrard reacted to pressure in this time. He also reacted to pressure. I think the final group match that season against Olympiacos, scored the last minute goal. They qualified them for the knockout stages. They scored a good goal against West Ham in the FA Cup final. Yep, so Gerrard's great at dealing with pressure. But Gerrard ain't in the park on Sunday. Gerrard also came out after the game on Wednesday and questioned his side's ability to handle pressure. That was his words. They couldn't handle the pressure. Now, if Rangers can't handle pressure in November, sort of December, early December, then that doesn't hold out much hope for them going forward, kind of deeper into the season.
But you cannot dismiss their chances on Sunday, because they had a bad second half against Aberdeen. You know, surely they are entitled to more respect than that.
I never said that, Hugh. I never mentioned Sunday's game. I think Celtic were winning Sunday by a couple of goals. Clearly, they've got a better chance of beating Celtic at Hampden this year on Sunday than they did a couple of years ago in the semi-final, perhaps, when they could beat 4 or 5 nil. So they've got a fighter's chance, but I still fancy Celtic to win quite comfortably.
See, it's all about fine margins for me, Gary. You know, you're talking about Rangers, and I respect you for coming on to say that you watched the game because you thought Rangers would drop points. That is the motivation for Celtic supporters who watched that game on Wednesday night. They didn't watch it for a chance to appreciate the aesthetics of weather.
But also, I don't know why we're getting bogged down this. Some people do. Some people like football. They watch their own team, they watch their rivals, they watch other teams, they watch teams that don't mean anything to them. Why does it have to be so?
Because Celtic and Rangers fan, God, you're not a Celtic or Rangers fan.
But hold on a second.
90-odd% of Celtic or Rangers fans would only watch their opposition, their great rivals, to see if they lose. Well, no, they don't watch it from a football spectacle.
They're hoping they're going to lose, obviously. But does it have to be that I'm only going to watch this if they lose?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Well, you're talking to two born and bred Glaswegians here.
Brought up in an era where, you know, I mean, listen, we'll put it out there. Any callers that phone up and say, listen, they watch their rivals to appreciate just a game of football.
I'm not saying that though. Ian Mackay's on, he says, I'm a Celtic fan and I've always watched every Celtic and Rangers game. I always will. I'm just saying maybe, just maybe, you two don't speak on behalf of every single fan out there.
We never said everybody.
But I am telling you, we are
the majority.
An easy to understand cynical lot in this city. They watch because they hope that points are dropped.
What about that comment that Gary mentioned? Because I thought it was interesting, whatever way you look at it, Jim, on Wednesday night. Stephen Gerrard was very forthright, and he often is. He said on television after the game, we didn't handle the pressure on Wednesday night.
Yeah, he spoke about lack of leadership. He expected the leaders on his team, in his team, to take, you know, to manage the game better. And again, listen, that's you know, his opinion on that particular situation. I don't really think it has much influence, or will have much influence on Sunday. The only time it may have is if Rangers are, say, a goal up and there's whatever 20 minutes to go, can they be calm enough? Can they have control enough of the game? And I don't just mean technically, I meant mentally. Yeah. To see the game through, because that's the question that was asked of them up at Pittodrie. Now, if they've learned from it, then fair enough, but they have to get themselves in that position again, which is to get in front before you can actually see whether that education has been a positive lesson or not.
Gary and Blantyre, we thank you very much for the call. We just heard again from Stephen Gerrard. We'll hear once more from Neil Lennon after the travel with Michael.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors, the league leader for compensation. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Jim Duffy's here, Hugh Keevans is alongside him. It's one of the biggest weekends in the Scottish football calendar, because the first piece of silverware is up for grabs. The League Cup will be decided at Hampden on Sunday. It'll either be Rangers or it'll be Celtic, and it should be a fascinating build up and game itself. So keep the calls coming, give us all your predictions. Maybe we can get a bit specific with the lineups now. We've had the final injury update from both managers. Still a bit of guesswork to be done, of course, but we think we know who's fit and who's not. So give us your final predictions or who you would like to see play the game. Jude is on Twitter, Hugh, and I love this, because it's one thing picking who you think's going to win the game, but Jude's actually got the story of it all figured out. Yeah. For Sunday, Rangers will score first. Here comes the plot twist. They'll then get too confident, switch off, and Celtic will come back with a comfortable win, says Jude. Tommy Gallagher is happy to accept Rangers are better, but aren't we also? Have we not at this stage of the season performed better in both the SPFL in Europe and one at Ibrox? Come on, lads, let's be fair in assessing both squads.
Yeah, I could not dispute that Celtic have been a credit to themselves. Europe has been sensational for Neil Lennon. However, as Jim Duffy mentioned earlier on, this is a game where sometimes you can have a bad day. Livingston beat Celtic this season, and Livingston, before and after that result, have been shocking.
Well, Neil Lennon agrees with the sentiments of the tweeter. He believes it will take a lot for Rangers to stop his Celtic side on Sunday.
If we win it, then it ticks another box for my career, which would be nice, but my whole focus is on the team, the players, you know, and, you know, putting on a performance to get over the line. It's always good to win trophies, and if it's against your main rivals, then all the better. But whether we win or lose, I'm not too sure how big an effect it will have on the league run between now and the end of the year. And obviously, we've got to play them again, you know, last game before we break up. You know, there's a relentlessness about them that refuse to lose. They don't know when they're beaten. So it's going to take a big performance someday, hopefully not Sunday, to end this run of trophies.
Celtic do go into this in a very good place, Jim Duffy. Yeah. Of course, they weren't at their best midweek, and they got the late winner against Hamilton, but 11 consecutive wins going into a cup final, you're not really going to ask for much more, are you?
Well, you can't ask for any more of that. It's extraordinary. And you know, people always say, you know, oh well, but they should have, you know, the biggest budget and the best players and so on and so. But you see, it's very, very difficult to have that run of consistency. And even during the week when Neil Lennon alluded to the fact that they may well have had one eye on the cup final, they still managed, and they do it time and time again. I mean, many times have you seen Celtic thinking, oh, it's late in the game. You always fancy them to score goals and score the winner. So, you know, they have that I think that's something that Neil Lennon has instilled from his mentality, that kind of winning mentality. And that's a skill in itself. That's a talent to have that ingrained into you. And I think Celtic have got that.
In the last final in which they played, Jim, Celtic against Hearts, Scottish Cup final, they had a mediocre first hour and an extraordinary last half hour. And that decided the cup in Celtic's favour. So that's what they are capable of.
Let's speak to William in Cumbernauld. Hi, William.
Yeah, hi, how you doing?
Not too bad, William.
Thank you. I've had some, what I'd originally called up about was just to get an honest opinion of the scores. I know everybody's banging on about it, and all Rangers, all these Celtic, all be whoever, but touching on Europe, I mean, they're saying, fair enough, Celtic done well in the qualifying, congratulations to them, but Lazio weren't any big team. You couldn't compare them to your Inter Milan, your Juventus or anything like that. And that's not to take anything away from Celtic. But domestically, you probably hear this as well, but I don't see how Celtic couldn't have won everything they've won, because we basically get sin-died. We get sent back to non-existence. So who is there to challenge Celtic? Celtic already had the bag of money. They already had the players. You wouldn't expect any less than they won everything.
Well, first of all,
just
William,
on the Lazio point, I mean, technically at the moment you're right, because Inter are top of Serie A and Juventus second. Lazio, they're still third in Serie A, Hugh. Yeah. They're 6 points behind Juventus, so it's a million miles off.
We are now in the weekend of the cup final, and therefore it is an obligation on the part of both sets of fans to try and detract from the other lot. Now, it's not possible to say Lazio are not whoever. Lazio were beaten home and away by Celtic. Celtic deserve 100% credit for that. At the same time, William,
I totally agree with you, but at the same time, I still feel a team from the Championship in England could beat Lazio.
Well,
Third in Serie A, William, it's not bad, is it?
You cannot say that you totally agree with me and then disagree with me the next sentence. However, I've been trying to say that this is a terrific contest in the making at Hampden on Sunday. Unfortunately, as I said at the very start of the programme, if you say may the best team win, in this city that's regarded as the cause of an argument. And neither set of fans will give the other team any credit whatsoever. Both have made this season very enjoyable. There's only Celtic and Rangers. The rest are from another postcode. At least give them some credit. Try and find it. We've had all manner of conversation here tonight about a Rangers fan saying he's been recording Celtic fans and he would never watch a Celtic game on television. And now William has tried to tell us that Lazio are basically mediocre and the team from the English Championship would beat them. You know, it's childish.
Yeah, see, the thing for me, see if you took the first and second in any other league, in major league in Europe, and say they're going to be contesting for the title and for the first domestic trophy, people will be salivating about it. We want to kind of rubbish each other, you know, rather than actually, when Hugh started the programme, have that excitement and optimism. This is great. And also, our top two teams doing well in Europe at this moment in time. You think there's so much to be positive about and excited about, and I think we've raised the bar. I mean, beating Lazio, beating Porto, you know, these things. I think these are fantastic results for Scottish teams. Listen, wasn't that long ago? We'd be happy to beat somebody for Liechtenstein.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, you know, we as a country, we need as much positivity as we possibly can. And I hope that on Sunday, the two teams play at their very best from a football side. And as you said, be the best team.
Thanks to William and Cumbernauld, that's a perfect opportunity, just because you were talking about Europe, the Europa League. Don't forget, if you will go to Clyde1.com, we're giving you the chance to win that stunning home entertainment system. That chance is still there for you. This is to celebrate Clyde1's coverage of Celtic and Rangers in Europe. As you'll know, we've been with both sides, home and away, along with Ladbrokes throughout the campaign, on the show and on social media and on that website. So a stunning home entertainment system up for grabs to celebrate the coverage. Go to Clyde1.com. I think that takes us up to time for this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
This is the victory you really want this weekend. Don't let anyone tell you different. Beat the Pundit, you against Hugh Keevans or Jim Duffy for the signed ball and, more importantly, the bragging rights. If you want to take part tonight, 01419511025. Be quick, the lines close at 7.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. The form team for compensation for more than 40 years. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Hugh Keevans and Jim Duffy here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Big weekend of Scottish football coming up. Premiership card tomorrow. Hit a little bit, of course, by the League Cup final on Sunday, but still some good games to look forward to. Motherwell have a sickness bug. How will that affect them for their home game against Hearts? At big game, Hamilton Accies against St Mirren at the bottom. So some good stories in the league as well, Hugh Keevans.
A bit disturbed by this Motherwell outbreak here, given that you and I attended the Sunday Mail Sports Awards last night in the company of the assistant manager, Keith Lasley, and Maurice Ross. I mean, how dare they?
Are you feeling okay? You've not passed on? It's not contagious?
Brand new.
Great. We'll get to that a bit later on. Keep your calls coming ahead of Sunday. Let's get specific. Let's start picking some teams. Let's throw some ideas out there and see who you think should play. But we'll do this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
It's Beat the Pundit time. Hugh Keevans and Jim Duffy have been studying hard all day, I'm sure, and one of them will be taking on Gary from Paisley. How are you tonight, Gary?
I'm very well, Gordon. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad at all. Listen, I won't put you in the spot and ask which you would rather win, Beat the Pundit or win the Cup Final, because I don't want your fellow Celtic fans to get angry with you when you inevitably pick Beat the Pundit. So I'll toss the coin. Heads, it's Hugh Keevans, and tails, it's Jim Duffy. It would help if I didn't drop it down the back of the desk. Let's do it again. And it's tails, Jim Duffy against Gary in Paisley. So I'm going to give Jim something else to listen to. Maybe hook him up with some Christmas music on Clyde 2. Right, Gary, here's the deal. 30 seconds, head-to-head with Jim. You can pass. Here's your chance to beat the pundit. You ready?
Yeah, let's go for it.
Let's get stuck in. Who's the captain of St Mirren?
Pass.
How many points are Celtic on in the league?
28.
What country does Killy's Niko Hamalainen represent?
Finland.
Which cider sponsored Rangers strips between 2013 and 14? Which cider sponsored Rangers strips between 2013 and 14? Which city hosted Aberdeen's 83 European Cup Winners' Cup final?
Kiev.
Which Scottish club is Gary Bolan the manager of?
Morton.
Gone, we'll squeeze one more in since you missed out on hearing. Which English team did Gary McAllister manage in 2008?
Birmingham.
Okay, let's bring Jim Duffy back. Right, Jim, can you hear us?
Yep.
You can. Same set of questions to you.
Okay.
Let's get stuck in. Who is the captain of St Mirren?
Stephen McGinn.
How many points are Celtic on in the league?
28.
What country does Killy's Niko Hamalainen represent?
Sounds Finnish.
Which side are sponsored Rangers strips between 2013 and 14?
Magnus.
Which city hosted Aberdeen's 1983 European Cup Winners' Cup final? Which Scottish club is Gary Bolan the manager of? Which English team did Gary McAllister manage in 2008?
Coventry.
And which team are currently top of Scottish League 2?
Cove Rangers.
Okay. What do you think, Gary?
I think he's done, mate.
Do you think so? Let's find out how bad the damage is. Who is St Mirren's captain? Stephen McGinn. 1-0 to Jim Duffy. How many points are Celtic on in the league? I think you both went for 28, which is weird because it's 40. So none of you are close, but you both went for 28, so it's 40. Which country does Killy's Niko Hamalainen represent? I think there was an educated guess from both of you, but you got it right. It is Finland. Born in the USA, though, if you're interested, Hugh.
Bruce Springsteen.
Not quite. So it's 2-1 to Jim after three questions. Which side are sponsored Rangers strips between 2013 and 14? It's Blackthorn.
You're right.
You're Mary Hill's only teetotaler, Jim Duffy, yeah. I think, or one of them. So there's no... no knowledge on that one. You were wrong as well, Gary. Which city hosted Aberdeen's 1983 European Cup Winners' Cup final? It was Gothenburg. So Jim goes into a 3-1 lead. It then became 4-1, I'm afraid. Gary Cowdenbeath has Gary Bolan as the manager. Gary McAllister managed Leeds in 2008.
I knew he was at Leeds, but I wasn't sure. And he was at Coventry, I think, with Gordon Strachan, I think. So I wasn't sure if he took over for a while.
Yeah, which team are top of Scottish League 2? It's Cove Rangers. You didn't get that far, Gary, but it didn't matter in the end. It was a 5 for Jim and only a 1 for you, Gary, in Paisley.
Comprehensive. What can you do?
Comprehensive.
Try again, Gary.
Maybe your team will bounce back on Sunday. That was Gary in Paisley. 01419511025 to keep the calls coming. Comprehensive. That's a good way of describing it. A professional job done.
I do it
by Jim Duffy. And I was trying to soften it a little bit. I was going for professional. You just had to stick the knife into poor Gary and Paisley.
Lowering
right?
the tone.
Yeah, as always. As always. Right, keep those calls coming. Let's start predicting teams or looking at teams. I know, Jim, you touched on it earlier because you said that Celtic's picks itself apart from
fullbacks.
Who did you have then? Wide left, who picks itself there?
If Ellen Uzi's fit, he goes in with Forrest on the right,
okay,
and Edouard and Christie behind him. That's the four. McGregor and Brown is the two holding, and then I think Frimpong, Julian, Aya, and I think Johnny Hayes.
So does El Yunusi come from being out for a couple of weeks and immediately go ahead of Mikey Johnson? Does his absence not impact that as far as you're concerned?
Nah, I think if he's fit and he's been training, I think he'll go in because I think he's been absolutely terrific, and I think that, you know, it's he's just slotted in so well. He's done a little bit like Scott Sinclair, not an out and out winger, if you want to call it that, running past the fullback, but getting into really good goal scoring and threatening positions. So for me, if he's fit,
I think back to the semi-final, Jim, against Hibs. Mm-hmm. Now, I know there's a world of difference between playing Hibs and Rangers at Hampden, but El Yunusi that night was terrific. Scored goals, made goals. He'd have to play.
Okay, well, I'm sure we'll find out. As for Rangers, we're waiting to see if Borna Barisic makes it. Jim Duffy didn't think it was an easy decision, but he just about went for Ojo in that right side of midfield position, or that right side of the attacking option. What about Craig and Airdrie? What are you thinking in that area of the pitch, Craig?
I know Jim's a teetotaler, but I think he must have touched something tonight if he's going for Ojo in that starting 11. I mean, being a Rangers fan, it's hard to criticise your own players. But apart really from the goal against Feyenoord, and then the game was dead and buried against Hearts last weekend where he won the ball off Hickey in the box. You know, I appreciate Jim doesn't watch Rangers week in and week out, but he offers absolutely nothing to the team there. I know Jordan Jones has been out injured and Barker has not been playing, but you look at Greg Stewart, and the follow-up to that point is, if you don't mind me just adding in, is, you know, all the pressure's on us on Sunday. It's a free hit for Celtic because, whether you like it or not, apart from the European games, if you take the last 18 months, every time Rangers have came under pressure, the semi-final against Aberdeen, the Betfred Cup last year, lost. The replay of the quarter-finals, lost. Wednesday night, everybody knew it was going to be a difficult game, lost. So apart really from the European games, if you look at it over the course of the 18, 19 months, any time that we've really been put under pressure, we've just not delivered.
With regard to Wednesday at Pittodrie, it might have felt like a loss, but it was a draw actually.
It was a draw.
Yeah, but a draw when you're 2-0 up and creating chances.
But it's still not a loss.
Still a point. The thing is, Craig, you know, you said, I think at the very start, you said a free hit. I don't think there's ever a free hit when Celtic and Rangers play each other, and particularly in a cup final. I don't think it's a free hit. But listen, you know, the reason I mentioned Ojo, you're right, I've seen a few Rangers games this year. I've seen most of the European games, and I've seen them in our couple of games, but only because, you know, when there's substitution to be made, it seems to be Ojo more than Greg Stewart. So I'm kind of trying to think how Steven Gerrard, not necessarily how I would pick a team, who I think Rangers might put in. So Greg Stewart is a good player, and I think that, you know, given more game time, I think he would be influential. Scott Arfield's the other one, but again, tried to play Scott Arfield in the first hole for him, and it didn't quite work. They were a bit narrow, and it allowed Celtic to express himself in the wider areas. So yeah, I mean, Scott Arfield will probably favour it to play in that position, but Ojo, as I said to me, is just one of those ones. He gives him the balance in the right hand side, coming in, allowing Tavernier to play. So it's more for that. I haven't seen enough of him, and I know he's certainly not a favourite by many Rangers fans. But he's still young. He's still got a lot to prove, and you know, there's no bigger occasion to try and prove it than Sunday.
I'd love to eat my words if he bangs in two goals. I'd happily phone back up and say I'm an idiot and I know nothing. But for me, sorry to take up your time here, but the other thing is, I don't think he's any better than some of the Rangers youngsters that are already there. Now, when Patrick Roberts was at Celtic and Ryan Kent was up on loan, you can understand loan players improving. What I'm saying is, I don't think Ojo's anything better than what we've already got. And he's slated to deceive so far.
Why do you think Steven Gerrard doesn't share your view?
Well, he's came from Liverpool, and whether it's true or not, a lot of people, whether you're on the buses or not, think there must be some clause in his contract, because generally Ojo plays.
I don't think Steven Gerrard's a man for that. He knows, he's been here long enough to know. Celtic have won 3 trophies on his watch. If he loses a 4th trophy on his watch, then the pressure's on him. So I don't think he will select a team based on, well, he played for Liverpool. Come on, the Reds.
Does the rest of the team pick itself, Craig? Because I've noticed the debate about the centre-backs has been heightened after Wednesday night. But again, changing them going into a cup final would maybe surprise some people. How do you feel about that area of the pitch?
Well, if you look at my previous calls, I've asked why Goldson's not been dropped before. But I think, and I was listening last night when you read out a Rangers fan who read in, I think you could drop either Halak. I would like Katty to come in. He puts his head in. He does go and put in a tackle. I think Goldson and Hollander both think they're footballers at the back, but none of the two of them like the physical challenge. So the answer to your question short is I would definitely drop one of them. Which one, I don't really care, because I think both of them have been pretty poor.
Can you sit in the fence, Craig? Come on, you're a manager, Craig. You're a manager for Sunday. Who are you going to drop? Come on, Hollander. Craig. You're dropping Hollander. You're putting Katic in.
Yep, just for pace, because if Edward's playing and Christie's coming through, I think even Jim, you would beat Hollander at the back. He's reached the game well.
Now you're definitely speaking Swahili.
Just before we let you go then, Craig, the other talking point would be Borna Barisic. There are question marks over his fitness. All of a sudden, he's become a very important player for Rangers, because he certainly wasn't at the start of the campaign, but he is now. Would that be is that a major blow for you, or do you have a level of confidence in Flanagan that he can go in there and do a job?
Before Wednesday night, I would have said it's a big loss, but Flanagan could probably cover. After Flanagan's performance on Wednesday night, I think if he can take a painkilling jag or whatever, I think Barisic has to play.
It was good to hear the way Steven Gerrard put it, Hugh, because it underlined the importance of Sunday. This is not about a physio sort of giving you the green light. This is about a player saying, not only am I fit to play, but I'm aware of the magnitude and I'm fit to be right at it, because this is massive and it's going to be a tough game.
Well, I mean, Jim Duffy over the years has had to take a player's word for it, and you have to believe that he's telling you the truth. And Barisic, I tend to think that foreign players in particular understand their bodies, and if they feel they're putting their body at risk, they won't take the risk. And that would apply to Barisic. He will be on that park if he knows that he's good and ready.
Right, that was the Rangers team then with Craig and Airdrie. We thank you for the call as always. What about the Celtic team with Robert in Mount Vernon? Hi, Robert.
Hi, how you doing, Gordon? All right, Jim. Yeah. How are you doing? Good. Listen, before I go into the teams, I'd like to say, I know Hugh, you're probably like us, well, my dad's bigger than your dad, right? But go to say it. The guy, Jack, come on, right? He's in his wee gym. I think he's dropped one of the dumbbells in his head, right? If you think Celtic and Rangers fans don't watch each other, they watch each other as you said. Aye. They watch it to hope they're going to beat. Yeah. That's fair enough. The guy, Wally, come on and say the championship team. Listen, see the section, the Rangers had, Rennes would have won that section, as far as I'm concerned, right? I think they'd have won that if they were in that group. But in saying that, Rangers they've done brilliant. The two of them have done really well this season, Celtic and Rangers, and also...
So let me get this straight, Robert. You're not happy with the criticism of Celtic's group, but you'll criticise Rangers' group instead?
I'm not happy with that. Exactly.
That's the way. That's why.
Forgive me for butting in here, Robert, and we'll get to your point in a second. But that's why I always laugh when people talk about the coefficient table and all the rest of it. Celtic supporters absolutely hope that Rangers lose every European tie, and Rangers supporters clearly hope that Celtic lose every European tie.
I've seen some fans of the coefficient this year, I would say. Some. You keep throwing all these big generalisations out there, and you might be right for a lot of people. I think there are some out there to like the bigger picture.
Many years ago, when Dundee United got to the cup final under Jim McLean, and I was at Dundee at the time, and all the Dundee boys went to a pub one night. You watched the game when it was on. I don't think there's many Dundee players there wanted Dundee United to win.
No.
Because you're living in the same city, your biggest rivals, hard enough that they were very good at the time anyway, without them being European winners.
Right, enough about that, Robert. What about your team? This is the... You've given it the big build-up.
Right, can I say something? I wanted Rangers to get into the group stages, obviously. Right, I told my son-in-law, who's a Rangers fanatic, I wanted him in there on the Thursday night and Sunday, the same as us. So I don't want him to go any further. I mean, that's fair enough. They've done well. the team on Sunday, Jim just said exactly what I was going to say. My problem is a fullback, whether Hayes or Wally comes in, I don't know. I'm not sure. It's up to Neil Lennon, but the rest of the team picks itself.
Who's got the edge out of those two then for you, Robert?
Oh, I don't know. Wally or Hayes?
Yeah.
I'd go for Hayes.
What about the other side?
Well, the other side's going to be a bit of a worry because, you know, a young guy, he's fantastic going forward. And Kent's a good player, so I don't know. I'm not sure about that one. Neil Lennon, he'll know better himself that way. I don't know. I'm really not sure. Maybe go for Boyer.
So you're pitching, you said you're the same as Jim. That means El Yunusi back if he's fit and you're sticking him straight in.
Oh, definitely. Aye, the guy's phenomenal. You know what I mean? And the guys we've got on the bench, just incredible. So if the two teams turn up, Celtic will win it. Now, if Celtic play well and Rangers play, Celtic will probably win the game, no?
Well, they better turn up the pair of them or we've got a programme, Ruud.
Jim, the thing about El Yunusi is, if memory serves me right, and it might not, people are going to pick me up on it. Mm-hmm. When he signed, people wondered about his match sharpness, and did Neil Lennon not put him in straight away? And it was at a European game.
Yep.
So, you know, you get some types, some players, you ease them back in, but maybe that's a sign that even though he's been out for a few weeks, he is the type that Neil Lennon would pitch right back in.
I think he's already stated this with El Yunusi and also with Frimpong, that he looked at these players in training and thought, wait a minute, I can't leave them out. Uh-huh. Particularly young Frimpong, his performance levels at training were so good that you know they had to find an opportunity to put him in the team, and I think El Yunusi was similar to that. It's better when Ryan Christie went back to Rangers, they put him in straight away, you know, and unfortunately it backfired a little bit because they end up damaging the hamstring. But when you've got really good players and you think they can impact the game and influence the game, then you get them in the team. And I think if El Yunusi's fit, I can't see how Celtic could leave him out.
It was He made his debut against Hamilton, didn't he? Played the full game, and then it was Wren the game afterwards. So I think that's what I was on about. Anyway, thank you very much to Robert in Mount Vernon. 0141 951 1025. Got a good full time teaser coming up for the guys. So we're going to test them. But as we know, an important time of year coming up in many ways. Here's a question for you. Not quite a teaser question, something much more serious. Do you have it in you to help save a life this Christmas? Well, every day Scotland needs 442 people to give blood every single day. I don't know if you knew that. I certainly didn't. That's an amazing statistic. There are a number of special reasons, and they really need to be full to keep hospitals stocked over this festive period. So we're trying to flag it up and make a bit of a difference. Glasgow Donor Centre on Nelson Mandela Place will be open Christmas Eve, Boxing Day and Hogmanay. Please make time if you can during your visits to the city centre and make an appointment. You could save or improve the lives of up to 3 people just by making a visit. So makes a massive difference. For more information, visit Clyde1.com.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Getting you full compensation is their goal. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Jim Duffy's here, Hugh Keevans is alongside him. It's time for them to tackle tonight's full-time teaser. I don't know if you heard last night's, you wouldn't have, Hugh, because you had the old tux on. You were at the Scottish Sports Awards. Honestly, Jim, it's like been out with a rock star. You should see the attention this guy gets. One of Glasgow's most famous sons, I have absolutely no doubt. Even when you left,
you're doing selfies, Hugh.
He was all over the place.
Selfies. Just don't go. I can't imagine Hugh in a selfie.
Yeah.
He doesn't
know how to take them, but he participates. even when you left, people, where's Hugh Keevans? We wanted more.
Yeah. And you said, officer, he's on his way home, officer.
Available for Christmas parties.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mitzvahs and children.
And one gentleman in particular, Craig Forsyth, was up. He was a big fan, and he was raging that he's never been able to get a shout out on the GBX.
Oh.
But he says he would settle for one from you,
Craig Forsyth.
John
Good
Tun.
Man.
There we go. That's it. That's the box ticked. On tonight's teaser, though, you didn't hear this last night. It's similar to last night's. Ian McIntosh last night was asking for the Rangers starting 11 the last time they played Celtic in the League Cup final, because Mark Wilson actually played in it. So we were trying to test him to see if he could get the opposition. So tonight you two have got Celtic's starting 11
from 2011.
So the last time these met in a League Cup final, it was 2011. Last night we did the Rangers starting 11. Can you give the Celtic starting 11 a go?
Mark Wilson.
Oh, I just gave that one away, didn't I? Never thought that one through. Well done, that was a free hit.
Let me think.
Fraser Forster.
Mm-hmm.
Lustig.
Nope.
11, that's
right. Scott Brown.
Scott Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Stephen Presley?
No.
James E. Forrest?
No, actually. Oh. Mm. Surprising one.
So we've got Matt Wilson, Scott Brown, and
Fraser Forster.
Fraser Forster.
You've got no attacking flair yet. No.
Darren O'Dea?
No.
Gary
Hooper, yes. Aidan McGeady, no. Okay, we'll leave it there because that's four of the 11. I think some of you will nail this straight away on Twitter. So send us a tweet at Clyde SSB if you want to take part. Thank you to Ian McIntosh. He sent the question in to fulltime@clyde1.com. So can you name Celtic starting 11 the last time they played Rangers in the League Cup final? We did the Rangers one last night. They got them all. They were hanging on for Maurice Edu at the end and they got it. We are on Twitter at Clyde SSB debating all things football, but sometimes we just like to settle arguments, Hugh.
Oh yeah.
If we can.
I like to start them.
Yeah, Jim will settle it. Robert Hutchison says, did Jim have a pub facing the art gallery in Glasgow in the 80s?
I did, yeah.
Now, that's one part of the argument settled. And was it called Overflow?
No, it wasn't.
Oh, sorry, Robert. I don't know if that's won you or lost you the argument. What was it called?
It was called JJ's. It used to be called Bacchus before I got it, and then it was, oh, I can't remember the name of it, but it's now a pizzeria. A very nice pizzeria, I have to say.
Yeah,
that.
I can vouch for that. Well, Robert Hutchison, please tell us more. Let us know if we won if we won you the argument there or lost you the argument. We'll find out. That's at Clyde SSB, and on the phones it's 01419511025. We are asking for your team suggestions. Kind of similar lines. We've not had anything. We've not had any curveballs, Hugh. I don't know if such a thing exists. I don't know what's the the most realistic.
Goldson being left out for Katic, that could be a curveball.
I just wonder if in fact Goldson has made a mistake too many.
Really? But I mean, Stephen Gerrard never drops him, does he?
No. Well, that's why it's called a curveball.
Cup final. I have to repeat, he's lost three trophies on his watch. Watch Celtic get them. He doesn't want to lose a fourth. It's a massive day for everyone I know. Everyone in green and white, everyone in blue. I know that. I don't need to be told that. But Stephen Gerrard, I think, may be given cause for concern after Goldson's performance at Pittodrie.
So the question should be, what's the most realistic curveball? I think there's a contradiction in there somewhere, yeah. But that kind of has to be what it is. We're not going to see anything wild, I don't imagine. For instance, Jim, do you expect Stephen Gerrard to have learned from the mistakes he was accused of in the first meeting this season? Because that team lineup did surprise people that day.
Yeah, again, it did surprise people. You had, obviously, Morelos particularly on the bench and Defoe playing. They played a narrow midfield. Something that he felt worked the last time that they'd played and did well, but you know it backfired a little bit. Listen, he could. As I say, there's a number of things. I think he probably will stick by with Arfield. This is just me saying about the balance of the team. I think it suits him better playing with two wingers, a striker, three centre midfield players. But he could add that Arfield winning, who does drop a little bit, and can give him an extra player. And it obviously scored a goal against Aberdeen during the week, so his confidence will be higher. But Stephen Gerrard has also said that he's had a few issues recently, that he's maybe not firing on all cylinders. And I just think when a manager comes out and says that, it's a big risk to start them.
Right, we've got two good calls coming up on the cup final. One from each side. Grant's a Rangers fan, Scott's a Celtic fan. We'll get the thoughts, but it is important we touch on some of the league action tomorrow because massive fixtures in their own right. Motherwell boss Stephen Robinson has big concerns about a sickness bug ahead of the clash with Hearts. Defender Peter Hartley missed the midweek win at St Mirren, and others are now suffering too.
There's a bug going about and people with high temperatures and that, so two different things. So we've sent a few home. I won't give specific names, give too much away, but there's four or five boys have been sent home in various stages this week, and we're just going to have to assess them Saturday morning because we're aware how infectious this is for 48 hours, and so you know the doctors advise people just to stay away from the ground at the moment. So we've got four or five we're looking at and monitoring, and then we'll make decisions on Saturday morning. We want to go on longer runs. We've done that at periods this season. And we've done it at periods last season as well, where we won 6 out of 7, 5 out of 6. So obviously you can do that, you build momentum. I think our runs have been broken by Rangers and Celtic, so you know we have to accept that sometimes. You know that's the level we're playing against. But you know tomorrow we get an opportunity to make it 3 in a row. Tough game. A team that will come and be fighting for their lives.
I thought they looked terrific midweek, Motherwell. I thought James Scott's finishing was of the highest quality. I think they are an absolute, given that everyone's fit, they are an absolute pain in the neck for Hearts, because what more can happen to Hearts? That they've gone 6 weeks now. They are making a three-course meal of trying to get in the former Barnsley manager. I'm not entirely sure they're going after the right man, but the last thing they need is to be sorted out by Motherwell tomorrow. And if Motherwell are all fit, Motherwell will win.
As you two have explained, Jim Duffy, football is a cynical business, and people will be saying they'll be fine. Hearts will rock up tomorrow. There'll be a full strength Motherwell team, and it won't have much impact. But you take Stephen Robinson at face value there. They obviously have had to send some home, and well, clearly that could have a big impact on the match.
Yeah, he sounded a wee bit croaky himself, Stevie, in an interview. And listen, that you know, it's like any workplace. You know, if you've got two or three people who have got flus and viruses, you know, it does drain you. And if you're a footballer, it can definitely have a major impact. But he still has a good squad there now. I think he's got options. So even if two or three players are missed, I don't think it's any more than three. I think you would start to ask questions. But as long as it's only up to about three, I think they've got more than enough cover.
He's kind of got a replacement in most positions, yeah. Actually, doesn't he?
Yeah.
If you look at recent games.
Yeah, as I'm saying, he's got guys come back into the fold as well. So I don't see it being a major issue. The bigger problem, as you said, is the Hearts scenario.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
They just look as, I mean, they scored a very late equaliser against Livingston, and I think that's actually just kept the Wolves away from the door a little bit longer.
Let's go back to the phones. 01419511025. Scott's in Burmullock. Hi, Scott.
All right, guys, how you doing?
Not too bad, Scott.
I just got a quick sort of put to you. Mm-hmm. I think Sunday, Celtic have got nothing to prove. They've won the last 9 domestic trophies. They've won the last 8 league championships. We've had some poor results over the years. League Cup semi-final at Inverness, where we should have actually got to the final that year as well. But in general, this team, the current team, has got absolutely nothing to prove. And in my opinion, all the pressures on Rangers and Steven Gerrard. The reason being, if they lose the Cup final, and also lose the game at the end of the month, the pressure then heaps on them. Winning the first trophy in your first season or the first trophy of the season is really big, and you can kick on with things. I remember when we'd done it under Ronnie, it was a big help. Also under Brendan Rodgers as well, another big, big lift. You've got something in the cabinet, something to show for it. Whereas if Rangers go into it with nothing, I think it heaps a lot more pressure on them. Plus, we hopefully can strengthen in the winter break. I don't know whether Rangers have got any money to do that now, because they've played their card in Ryan Kent, I think. And we could maybe strengthen, get a striker in, and maybe another defender.
Scott, would you accept that there is another scenario whereby Rangers win the Cup and win it at Celtic Park?
That's not my point. All I'm saying is, I'm just saying, I was sort of making a point of view that we don't, Celtic as a team, don't have anything to prove.
Well, the phrase anything to prove, it's not about proving anything on Sunday. When you're at Celtic and it's a cup final, you are expected to win. And against Rangers, a team that you've dominated of late, you are expected to win. You have to live up to that. It's a pressure on its own. No Celtic player, and certainly not Neil Lennon, none of them are going to Hampden thinking, you know, if we win, good, but if we don't, it doesn't matter.
Scott, the word prove, I don't really know if I can, I'm not trying to change your mind on that one, but would you not accept a Rangers victory? Could you not put the case forward to say that that's a sign, maybe a small sign, maybe a big sign, depends on which team you support probably, that Celtic's domestic dominance is now under threat, though? Is that not a possibility?
Well, the only average you say is at one point you're going to lose a game.
That's true.
No, I mean, you're not going to go a game against Celtic or Rangers. Both teams are not going to go forever and not win a game. All I'm saying is, right now, Celtic are by a distance, they're the best team in Scotland over the last 8 seasons, because they've won 8 championships in the trot.
But it's not the last 8 really seasons, though. On Sunday, it's not about the last 8 seasons. It's about Sunday.
Yeah, but Scott's talking about the bigger picture, in the sense that he doesn't believe that adds pressure to Celtic. In fact, he thinks that there is no pressure on Celtic as a result.
Neil Lennon said a very interesting thing when you played his clip earlier on. I actually wrote it down because I thought, oh, there's a right good quote. When he said that a win would tick a box in my career. Yeah. Now, that's a big... Neil Lennon has is a Celtic icon and has been for 20 years. He has managed the club twice. Mm-hmm. Only one man in history had done that before, Billy McNeil. And he knows what everything means to the Celtic supporters because he had 20 years of it. And for him to say, this would tick a box in my career, he wants it, and he wants it badly, clearly. And of course, Stephen Gerrard wants it and wants it badly. But Neil Lennon is not going there thinking, we've got nothing to prove. He's going there wanting to tick that box in his career.
What do you think, Jim? Because there are two clearly laid out arguments here. The one that Scott says, Celtic have won everything recently. Mm-hmm. They will lose one eventually. Mm-hmm. So if it's this Sunday, fine. There's the other one, though, which says the more trophies you win, the more the bar gets raised, your expectation levels get higher, and the fallout the first time you don't win one can be massive. Which one are you expecting?
Yeah, but I think also the more pressure, if you won, the more pressure it puts on your rivals, because there's another trophy gone. You know, that's another one, you know, that you can't win, and that only leaves you two. So, and I think that every time you go into a competition, then that cranks up the pressure of winning. And every time you get close to it, people will bring this argument back up again. Well, you didn't win it, you had your chance. So from Celtic's point of view, I think there is, if you can be a little bit more relaxed in this scenario, I think Celtic
think this is the one.
Yeah, because they have won all these trophies. It is not the most important thing. But as you said, we Neil Lennon knowing, you know, to win 10 trophies on the bounce is just exceptional. I don't know if it is unique, but it's certainly very, very rare.
Thanks to Scott in Burmullock. Let's go straight on and speak to Grant in Torrance. Hi, Grant.
Hi, good evening, lads.
Hello,
Grant. No, it was just the other night there was a lad on, I think it was it John or Tam from Maryhill. I must disagree with this lad. He was talking about Rangers need in January and maybe get into centre-halves. As far as I'm concerned, this has been a car crash waiting to happen with Golson and Hollander. See Katic and Edmondson, they're far superior players. Now, listen, I love Stevie G, everything he does for the club, but I'm afraid he shuffled the pack in the midfield, shuffled the pack up top, but he's never done it at the back, right? And he said he had four centre-halves there. Now, I think it was time he done it, but do you know what? I think Sunday could be a big shout to do it. I just want to get your take on it, and I think the guy, as I say, I think it was John.
I think it was John. Tam. I remember it. Yeah, John and Mary
John
Hill.
Or Tam from Mary Hill.
John. Yeah.
I don't know. I think he's a wee bit confused.
I think I don't know. Jim would know better than me, but I'd be wary of changing both central defenders for a cup final.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's very, very rare that someone would do that. And again, you've got to be careful as a manager, the message you send out. I remember, well, Hugh'll remember, he's old enough to remember, when Jim Leighton was left out of the Manchester United team.
Yeah, against Crystal Palace.
And I don't think he ever spoke to Fergie, never met anything else. And he was a huge player for Fergie in the Aberdeen era and all stuff. Now, I know that's going back decades, but the point I'm trying to make here is that if he does leave it, Conor Golson, and he puts in Katic or Edmondson, but more likely Katic, you know, as he saying to Conor Golson, listen, you've got to prove to me that if we get to another cup final, you've got to be in the team. As he sending that message out, and is Conor Golson strong enough, and if you want to call it, grown up enough to say, accept that? Or does he lose the player and saying, so wait a minute, I've played every game here this season, I've had the odd wee dip here and there, and I'm left out of the biggest game of the season. So there's a man management job here if he does go down that road. And only Stephen Gerrard, he knows his players better than anybody. So I can't say how that, because I don't know the guys personally. Stephen Gerrard does.
Explain this situation with George Edmondson, Grant, because you're not alone. We get a lot of Rangers fans on here, and I see them on social media saying they really rate the guy, they want to see him given more of a chance. George Edmondson has played six times for Rangers this season. Two of them were in July, what is it about those brief appearances that makes you think he could cut it? And ultimately, why is he not played more then, if he's so good?
Remember, he was on against Livingston, Ibrox, no, and he just looked so comfortable on the ball. I mean, his nickname, I think, is the Fridge at Ibrox, right, because he's solid. He doesn't take any prisoners, like Katic. And I just think Golson is too mamby-pamby, to be honest with you. Hollander can read the game well, but seeing he's running, I feel as though his laces are tied together. Honestly, I mean, he just cannot. You see the elbows going and whatever. Listen, whoever plays at centre-half for Rangers on Sunday, all the best to him. But I just feel as though Stevie G missed a wee trick a few games back there. Maybe shuffling the pack at the back and putting the two of them in and see where they go for there. And don't get me wrong, it's a big shout he made on Sunday, and I know he won't do it, but I've been crying out that this has been a car crash waiting for the last, say, 6 weeks, 7 weeks. We've rode it pretty well. McGregor's bloody come in and helped us out big time. And I just feel the boy Edmondson, honestly, I think he's got an educated left foot. He can read the game brilliantly. And Katic also. Katic is a winner, right? Compared to Golson. When Katic goes to get head of the ball, he goes through the ball, goes through the man, and leaves him lying there. Golson can't even head of the ball. And honestly, I'm afraid my time's out on Golson. No,
you told us that you love Steven Gerrard. He's a pretty poor manager because you don't agree with anything he does.
You are allowed to have your disagreements. I think just in the interest of accuracy, I think it was the Hamilton game that Edmondson started in at Ibrox. It wasn't Livingston, but nevertheless, the point still stands. Thank you very much to Grant and Torrance. Quickly on the teaser, any more on Celtic starting 11 the last time they played Rangers in a League Cup final?
I've got eight names written down. I'm going to go through the eight quickly.
Quickly.
Joe Ledley.
Yes.
Adam Matthews.
No.
Charlie Mulgrew.
Yes.
Stephen McManus.
No.
Victor Wanyama.
No.
Georgi Samaras.
Yes.
Sean Maloney.
No.
Ah, and the last one, Ki Sung Jung.
No.
Oh well, I made a get there.
Chris Commons.
Yes.
Oh,
we'll leave it there because you've only got three to get. We'll get them next. Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. They play to win every time. Talk to Thompson's.com. Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Jim Duffy and Hugh Keevans are here. They're tackling tonight's full-time teaser. It's a topical one from Ian, who last night we asked Mark Wilson and Gordon DL, can you come up with the Rangers starting 11 the last time they played Celtic in the League Cup final? It was 2011. So we flipped it on its head tonight. Can you name the Celtic starting 11 from the same game? You're going pretty well. You've got Fraser Forster, Mark Wilson, Charlie Mulgrew, Scott Brown, Joe Ledley, Chris Commons, Georgios Samaras and Gary Hooper. Let me just check Twitter because lots of people out there are absolutely nailing this. Kieran has got every one of them, I think.
Yeah, but they could just Google it.
Nah, they wouldn't do that. Full of integrity. Jay is also on. Jay's a Rangers fan and has got it. Sean Devine has thrown some good answers in as well. So there's a good standard out there. Have you two got any
three,
more?
We're three short. We've got four names to offer you.
Mm-hmm.
Behram Kayal.
Yep. Well done.
Emilio Izaguirre.
Wow. Flying. This could be the earliest Hugh Keevans has ever finished the teaser.
Gary Caldwell.
Maybe not.
Daniel Mastorovic.
No.
Oh,
you're getting
cold. It's a centre back. You're getting cold. I can't think of the centre back.
Still time to get it. Don't worry about that. What else have we got coming in on Twitter? Let me just check. Clyde SSB. Joe McCabe says, to the guy referring to Edmondson as the Fridge because he's solid, are you sure it's not because he's called that for being left out in the cold because he's honking?
Boom, boom.
Says Joe. Are we joking on a Friday night? I don't mind that. If you've got any other football related pieces of humour, we will have them. What about the rest of tomorrow's league fixtures in terms of importance?
Yeah.
Not my place to say, but I was going to suggest, yeah, Hamilton and St Mirren at the bottom. Jim, how big?
Yeah, it's got to be. I mean, Hamilton will be absolutely gutted at losing that injury time. Late goal to Scott Brown after getting that 90th minute. They were probably just overexcited and thinking, right, the whistle's going to go, and what a result. So, I mean, Brian will be delighted with the performance, but it probably will still be just be sticking in their throats a little bit. What a chance they had to have an outstanding result. But St Mirren, you know, losing 3-0 to Motherwell at home, and Jim just can't quite seem to find the formula. A couple of times you look as if they're getting somewhere and then they just have a setback. So listen, a big match for both of them. A tough one to call. I think Hamilton, at Hamilton, I'd probably think maybe just sneak it there.
A defensive concern, sorry Hugh, just on that, the defensive concerns for St Mirren. Gary McKenzie limping off the other night, mm-hmm. Kirk Broadfoot already out. Too soon for both of them. Looks like Paul McGinn will have to continue in one at centre back. So when you're on a difficult run, you're kind of hoping that all your players are available. It's salt into the wound stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, I think you know they're based, any you know kind of points they've got this season on the defensive structure. I mean that's fine. You know, there's absolutely no problem with that. But when that defensive structure starts to break up, then you know you're looking at two departments. So listen, he's got a gamble to do, Jim. Does he just think, well, listen, the best mode of defence is to attack and maybe just change it and just let them off the leash a little bit? Or does he try and just stick to what they've been doing over the last couple of months and just being very compact and disciplined and hope that they can come away with the 3 points? But I just fancy Hamill might just shade it.
And then there's the fascination of managerial life. Mm-hmm. Jack Ross comes in, wins his first two games as head manager. Who's a clever boy then? Mm-hmm. Then he's two up against Kilmarnock in his third game, mm-hmm. and it's drawn 2-2 at Easter Road. And then he goes to the Highlands, mm-hmm. to Dingwall, and they go up, mm-hmm. and they lose 2-1. And tomorrow he's got Aberdeen at Easter Road. Big day for Jack Ross. Aberdeen will go there full of self-belief after their result against Rangers.
So is it St Johnstone and Ross County? They get the rest, if you like, because their fixtures have been moved due to this League Cup final on Sunday. What about the Championship, Hugh? How long has it been since we had a happy Partick Thistle fan on at 5 o'clock on a Saturday?
Yeah, well, there's no doubt that after the 5-goal mauling at Dunfermline, Ian McCall needs a decent result tomorrow. You know, we're getting well into the season now, and we always go on about the January transfer window, and they do need players, Partick Thistle. The squad as it stands at the moment will only have Ian McCall in trouble. He needs an influx of new players.
They're away at the Queen of South, is that right?
Yeah.
I think, I mean, I'm not sure if they're right at the bottom, but I think maybe the last three seasons at Christmas, Thistle might well have been the bottom of the league. Initially it was the Premier League, and then they get relegated, and last year they were struggling badly. Oh. And at least if they weren't at the bottom, near the bottom, and this year the same again. You know, you can't keep doing that and then hoping to scrape your way out further down the line after the January transfer window, because other teams might strengthen as well. But they've got it. I think. Don't get me wrong, I think Ian McCall will sign half a dozen players in January, because I don't think he can hang around hoping that the boys that are there are going to find for him, because there'll just be no sign of it really on a regular basis.
Okay, fulltime at Clyde1.com. That's the address you need if you want to hear your question used on the show in the future. Please send them in. Fulltime@Clyde1.com. That's what Ian McIntosh did tonight. And after asking for the Rangers starting 11 on Thursday's show, tonight he wants the Celtic starting 11 the last time they played Rangers in a League Cup final. You've got all but one. You've got Fraser Forster. Let's go through the team. You've got Mark Wilson, Charlie Mulgrew, Emilio Izaguirre, Scott Brown, Joe Ledley, Behram Kayal, Chris Commons, Georgios Samaras, and Gary Hooper, which means you're one short.
Is this a defender beside Charlie Mulgrew?
Yeah, definitely.
Yes.
Definitely a defender, but I just can't. He's certainly no Scottish, because we went through McManus, Presley, Caldwell, so he can't be Scottish. He's got to be continental.
Okay, I'll give you that, since we've got about a minute of the show left.
Right, you need to give us another clue then, because I can't think of... Are you going to give us initials or something?
Yeah, probably. I was just trying to give you a bit more time.
I just know it's a centre-back, but I think we went through as many as
he's one of these guys. I feel like he comes up in the teaser quite a lot, and there just must be something forgettable about his Celtic career. I just don't think it was long enough for people to remember it amongst some of the names that you've mentioned. I think if I give you his nationality, you'll get it.
Go on then.
He was Norwegian. Is Norwegian.
Norwegian.
Yes. I thought you were about to say that.
Ronny or something like that. I Can Thomas Run?
Thomas Run, yeah, well Thomas done. Run, you got there in the end. Thank you, Jim Duffy and Hugh Keevans. We're back at 2 o'clock tomorrow, keeping you up to speed on the Premiership fixtures. We've also got our Cash for Kids sports auction as well. It's one of the highlights of the year on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Some money can't buy prizes and some vital, vital funds raised for children who really need it the most right here on our doorstep. So please join us on the Cash for Kids sports auction, and we've got some good football as well. Then it's on to Sunday. Looking forward to it.
Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation you deserve. When there's been foul play, talk to Thompson's.com.